Hello, and welcome to Only Lovers Book Club. We are three Latinx besties reading romance and erotica. We take turns, and this month was my turn to pick, so we will be discussing Best Women's Erotica of the Year, Volume 8. Before we kind of like get into the book and our discussion, let's go around and like say hello, introduce ourselves. Are you wearing anything that's on theme? Are you drinking anything that's on theme? And what is your background? I can go first. I am having my bottle of water is invisible, so I'm going to go get it in like 5 seconds. I'm keeping it pretty natural today. I am dressed as in spirit as the wife of a gardening story called Desire Blooms, where I'm sad and my husband's sad, but there's like this bisexual farmhand who's going to like get us back on track. And my background is like a greenhouse because there's a greenhouse in the story. And so this one is more like abandoned, but I needed it to be like a big, cool background. And so this is the one that worked.
Okay. Well, I have an opera house as my background, and I am wearing a velvet black and red coat and a black beard. And I have my hair pinned back a little bit more. If you are a true OG Only Lovers fan, then you should know what episode this beard and this coat are from. So prove it to us. Prove it to us that you're an OG fan and say in the comments where these things are from. They're all repurposed from previous episodes. And it's in theme with one of the first stories in the collection. And then I'm drinking a probiotic soda because I barely slept last night because my dog had the runs. But I have to drink it with a straw so I can, you know, carefully place it through my beard.
I could not think of an outfit, but I remembered I have the Only Lovers robe. So I put it on, and because my hair was already like fairly curly, I'm pretending I'm the like actress who's part of the play. And I'm in the part where she's like not on screen. So she's like diddling herself. So I've got like just like curls in my robe, and I'm like waiting for my scene so that I can get back on the stage. And this is gonna look like Hulk jizz, but we have a soda maker and we bought apple syrup. So it's like a homemade green apple soda.
That soda looks like something they would be drinking in that one story that's like an orgy in the forest where they're worshiping like that one god. Do you know that looks like what they would be drinking?
Yeah, I could see that. Just like, this is a potion. It's green apple and it's seltzer and it's delicious. Sometimes I put booze in it. I wanted to just have soda today because I walked a lot yesterday and I walked a lot today. So I'm like tired and dehydrated.
Well, thank you so much. That soda looks delicious. I know I said I was going to get water, but I found a can of Coke in the fridge. And so I too will be having soda. Like I said, we're going to be discussing Best Women's Erotica of the Year. This is an anthology. It's not our first, I'm happy to say. But I mean, I'm also surprised that like we've read so few because like I love reading short story collections, but that's a different book club, you know? But we've read Silver from Iron Circus about elderly people, fuck. I remember that tagline. And we've also read a little bit more, you know, serious and contemporary. Who's loving you? So let's hear about what this one is about. Tashai, could you please read us the description?
Best Women's Erotica of the Year, Volume 8 is ready to play. The characters who frolic in these 21 tales play at just about everything. Music, sex, games, LARPing, and more. Edited by the award-winning Rachel Kramer Bussell, these sexy stories feature everything from a daring historical tale of two lovers getting intimate in crowded theater, to forbidden love and lust, to alien passion, all while exploring the realms of fetishes, BDSM, and the paranormal. So step right up and take your pick, because everyone's a winner when these characters play out their deepest sexual fantasies, with stories by popular authors such as Rilsey Adams, Christina Barry, Dina Hankins, Ruby Lang, Eva Lee, Rosanna Leo, Robin Lovett, P. Storm Crow, and Fiona Zed, along with fresh voices. This playful collection is nothing short of victorious when it comes to steaming the pages.
Thank you. Andrea, could you please read us a little bit about the editor?
Rachel Kramer Bussell, from rachelkramerbussell.com, is a writer, editor, event organizer, and erotica writing instructor. She's edited over 70 anthologies, including, oh boy, The Big Book of Orgasms, Come Again, Sex Toy Erotica, Dirty Dates, On Fire, Spanked, Please Sir, and Please Ma'am, and is the best woman's erotica. I knew it was going to happen. You pushed me over the edge. Okay. Her nonfiction has been published in the New York Times, the Washington Post, Mary Claire, O, the Oprah Magazine, Elle.com, Salon, Slate, Time.com, The Village Voice, and numerous other publications. Follow her at Raquelita on Twitter and learn more about her writing workshops and consulting at eroticawriting101.com.
Thank you. I'm sorry that I made you laugh. I was trying to support you as best I could.
I was trying so hard to concentrate.
Okay, well, thank you, friends. And fair listener, this is your spoiler warning. We are going to be discussing a lot of the stories pretty thoroughly throughout this hangout, throughout this discussion. So if you're hoping to, I mean, it's an erotica anthology, so I don't know, like, I don't know what you're expecting, but like, you know, like there's going to be fucking. So the details and the maneuvers and the trope work of the fucking, if you don't want that spoiled, then stop here, go read, and then come back and listen to our discussion and let us know maybe what your favorites were, or, you know, where you absolutely agree with us or disagree, etc. Okay, why did I pick this book? At the beginning of the year, when we were sort of like making our wish list or making the list of what we were going to read together, I knew that I wanted to read erotica specifically. I just didn't know which one. And I had just ordered the Best Women's Erotica volume, and I figured, why not? You know, we've read anthologies before. We've successfully made our way through some of them. So now is the time. Like you were prepared. I've trained you for this. My whole life I've been. So here we are. And so let's go into some overall impressions. So one of the things that we do when we're reading an anthology is that I'll make like a little journal for us so that we can keep track of our reading. And this collection had up like 20 something stories. So I was grateful for that. Although I didn't use it for every single story. Sometimes I own the book, so I just would write on the page as well. But I made the little journal and I shared it. So if you know, feel free to read from that. We could rate the story and then we could add additional notes. And we were kind of like rating it, you know, subjectively, individually, based on the story, the theme, and the spice. So whether, you know, the plot itself was good, the setup for the erotic scenario, was that, you know, a good setup, believable, likable? Did you enjoy that? How well did it stick to the let's play theme, you know, whether it's the story or the anthology overall? And finally, how spicy it was, how effective were those depictions of sexy times on the page? Not whether or not like you were turned on, but more like, you know, was it like something enjoyable, or were you just like skimming? And so you could rate it 5 stars if it was amazing, 4 if you liked it a lot, 3 if it was all right, 2 if there was very little for you to enjoy, and 1 star or nothing if it was just not good or no aplica, like you didn't read it, so you're not going to rate it. You know what I mean? So that's pretty much that was our methodology. and I always kind of like doing it that way. I like seeing where I would have given 5 stars, whereas like maybe Drea would have given it like 2, you know, and that's just the magic of that. So I'm going to ask, like, overall, right? How did you feel about the anthology? Like, did you think, you know, overall, it stuck the landing when it came to let's play? Did you feel it was playful? Did you enjoy it for the most part? Were you skipping around? I want to know it all. Were you skipping around? Were you reading in order?
You know what? I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I would. And I think it's because, you know, for those of you who don't know, like several years ago, we won copies of another volume of this anthology. Was it volume 6? Around that time, it feels like 5 or 6. Yeah, we won them on a giveaway. And I remember I didn't even open it. I actually sent it to my sister as a gift because I was like, this is not for me. And to be fair, I would not have bought this for myself. But just a measure of my growth in this club that I think I, you know, enjoyed it more than I would have several years ago. And I think for me, the biggest surprise is, I guess when I read the title of like Best Women's Erotica, I was very much picturing that it was going to be like very like cis straight, like traditional like erotica. I don't know, that I guess I didn't realize how it would play around with kink, and I didn't realize how much it would play around with like gender expressions and gender presentations and different identities. I don't know the backgrounds of the author, so I don't know how diverse of an author collection it is, but the stories felt more varied than I was expecting. In a really positive way. Like, I definitely had moments where I was like, oh, this is cool. I was not expecting to see, I don't know. I was not expecting to see as much variety as we saw. So I think that was my overall impression, was just like pleasantly surprised. I think my expectations were more far lower.
Same as Andrea. I was caught off guard by the variety of stories, because I think what happens with reading these kinds of collections is like you don't know what the story is going to be about, and so that caught me off guard with a few of them, because it would start off reading like a straightforward story and then it would take like a hard left or a hard right into like mythical or robots, or you know, it would take like a really hard turn. And for some of them it worked, and for some of them I didn't think it worked as well, because I think some ideas, in my opinion, were too big for a short story, and so it takes a lot of work to be able to world build, character build, like create the relationship, build in the smut, and have it like make sense. So for some of these, I think they could have benefited from like greater detail. And for some of these, I think it could have benefited to like call down some of the stuff, because it was like too many ingredients being thrown in. And it was hard to see it as like a strong story, just because it's like sometimes it is better to take some stuff out. Overall, I thought there was a good amount of stuff in here. I think there was like a good amount of representation. I think that the variety from like more hardcore to like lighter was pretty decent. There were like a couple that I considered like middle of the ground erotica, where it was like nice. It was a cute story. It felt like a rom-com, but like in a short story format. So those were nice to read too. But yeah, it's like a fun read. There were definitely a couple in here that I liked more than others. And I think I was kind of surprised, because the ones that I leaned more towards liking were the ones that were like less fantasy-ish. Like I ended up liking the ones that felt more like a straightforward like relationship stopping point. Like, we're going to zero in on this relationship that's been going on for a bit, and we're going to see like a part of it. Versus the ones where it's like these people don't know each other and like suddenly this is happening. Like that was just a lot harder for me to get into, because it's such a short space. And so I think the ones that were strongest were the ones that used this as a way of showing us a relationship that already existed, versus here's a relationship that's starting and they're soulmates now. But no, I thought the erotica was good. I thought some of it was like really well written.
I was also thinking as I was reading that I was curious as to who this is being marketed towards, because I feel like unless you go into it already being open to reading the kinkier stories, yeah. Do you know what I mean? If you're just picking it up thinking like, ooh, cool, women's erotica, like I could see people putting it down and being like, oh, that's not for me. Like, not necessarily in a like this is disgusting kind of way, but just like if you're buying it because you want like a titillating read, you know, you're not going to read something that you personally are not into. So I was curious with the great variety that was in there, if I don't know. I was just curious who is buying it. Like, I feel like the three of us, you know, we'll pretty much read whatever, whether we're into it or not, you know, like we'll read it at this point. It's like once you read about a T-Rex having sex with someone, it's, you know, there's only so much crazier you can get. But I was just curious in terms of like marketing the book and actually selling it, like who is doing the purchasing because of all the variety.
What you mean? Because mm-hmm. It's like, it's not a traditional collection. It's mm-hmm. not like a straightforward relationship stuff. There's like sci-fi stuff. There's like horror elements in some of them. There's like, yeah, it's such a wide variety mm-hmm. that it's like hard to describe what you would be getting out of it as a reader, other than saying, oh yeah, it's like Best Women's Erotica. They have a bunch of different stuff in here.
Let's so play.
Yeah, like it's playing, but even the take on the theme of play is so varied mm-hmm. that I think it's probably a collection for bookstagrammers who read a lot of erotica and romance books and stuff every year, not for someone who's necessarily dipping their toes into like erotica for the first time. Or it's the exact opposite of that. And if you've never read erotica before, pick this up, because then you figure out what tickles your pickle. I think it's both. It's one of those. It's you're either really into erotica or you've never read erotica. And it's like, oh, sampler pack. Okay.
I mean, listen, I consider myself to know. Like I feel like I've read a lot of erotica and romance, and like I know a lot of things. And I still had scenes where I was like, oh, is that what you call that? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just. So yeah, I think you could definitely figure out what you're into or not in this, but again, in a good way. I was pleasantly surprised.
Well, it pleases me to hear that you were pleasantly surprised, both of y'all. This is not my first rodeo with Best Women's Erotica. I like took a look back at the bookshelf, and it's six. The six is when I think that we received that giveaway one, but I've read 6, 7, 5, 4, like I've read a lot of these, and so I can see where, like, if you're just jumping into this kind of collection, you'd be like, whoa, like I was expecting just like straight up just like regular people doing regular things, not like vampires or robots. And
you know what, it's not even the just jumping into a collection, but I feel like when I've encountered erotica in the past, it's very clearly marketed for like a specific niche. Mm-hmm. Like if you are into X, Y, or Z, this is the collection for you. So mm-hmm. I think for me, it's not the first time I'm like reading this kind of erotica, but it's the first time that I'm reading one where there's so many different things put together.
Yeah. This is more like a buffet, you know, and you mm-hmm. kind of like, as you start it, you're kind of, you know, you either pick, it's one of those books where I would just have it by my bedside table and I would read like right before going to bed, and, or if I woke up really early, but I wasn't like ready to leave bed, and I would just do another one. And it was just a like quick little hits. And so, yeah, I've always really enjoyed these anthologies precisely because they are so varied. They have a little bit of everything. And so, yeah, if you're someone who loves reading erotica, then you're going to find a lot of the stuff that's in your wheelhouse here. Vanilla stuff, kinky stuff, fantasy, you know, science fiction. There's going to be a little bit of everything because it's like the best of the best across all genres, right? If you are kind of like stumbling upon this and you're just like, oh, I don't know. I also think it's a good sampler pack. Like you said it, you said it to Shai, and I was like literally thinking that as you said it. I was like, it's like, you know, like the Frito-Lay sample pack. Do you want like the spicy Doritos or do you want like the salty Lay's?
So, but also like, even if you know you like Doritos, it's like, what flavor do I like, right? Exactly. Because there's like all sorts of mixing of like not just genders, but like, oh, are you into like girls? Are you into girls who wear dildos? Are you into girls who dress as men? You know, like there's so many like options even within like each thing.
Yeah. And I like that, you know, I appreciate you being like, oh, there's a variety of stories. I also, you know, I don't know. I didn't look up every single author in this. I trust the editor to have, but it's also not marketing itself as like a diverse erotic read, mm-hmm. even though I was always really pleasantly surprised. You're like, oh, this is a queer story, or mm-hmm. oh, this one, you know, it's definitely it's just queer. Anytime I was like, oh, this one's gay, I love this, you know, I'm excited to read this. So I would say it is like a varied a varied collection, but I don't know like how diverse. And I also don't know if in this case that matters. I think that it's like, you know, like how some people like to distinguish between women presenting or women and or femmes, you know, I think it's supposed to be like very general, and like whatever that means to you is mm-hmm. what it means to you.
I would describe it instead of saying like a buffet, because with buffet, you still have kind of more of a theme depending on what kind of buffet you're at. It's like going to one of those candy stores that have all the different candies in the buckets, and you get a bag and you pay by the pound, and you throw in your chocolate covered potato chips with your gummy bears, with your sour rope, with your spicy cinnamon pellets, with your whatever. And then you're like, yeah, hell yeah. And then you kind of just like have this bag, and it's all candy, but it's like this bag full of very different candy. And you just kind of shove your hand in, and it's like, let's see what comes out.
Okay. Well, now I want my food description. I think it's like a potluck. And you know when people don't label the things they bring in, they just leave them in like the office room. So you're like peering in and you're like, I think this is a soup, but is it vegetarian? Is it meat filled? Like, who does it have dairy? And you don't know. You just got to put it in your mouth and find out.
And someone walks by and they're like, that's dip.
You're fucking eating the dip with a spoon. Well, it's very runny.
It needed more. It's too liquidy.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, it sounds like we had a good time reading it. So I want to know, did you have like any standouts? Did you have any like stories that you gave a lot of 5 stars to? And it, you know, just because it didn't have one thing over the other didn't mean like it was a bad story, but which ones stood out to you the most? Give me like, if you have like a top 2 or 3, and then if you could say why those were the ones that you enjoyed the most.
I did not finish reading all of the stories, so it's possible that the ones I say are my favorites now, it might change, because I do plan on finishing the collection. Just didn't finish it in time for tonight. But you know, it's funny because I think one of my favorite stories actually ended up being The Devil Take You, which is the one I'm embodying, you know, with my character today. And it's so funny because I remember telling Chris when I started the collection, I read the first one. Well, you all remember when I read the first one, because that line about the dick imprinting in the throat, like, it still haunts me to this day. That one was not for me. But anyway, I read that story, and then I started the next one. I was like, historical fiction, and I just skipped it. And I remember telling Chris, I was like, oh, I'll just leave that for later. And then eventually I came back to it, and I was like, oh, this is sexy. Because it's like, I love stories that play around with like kind of high stakes exhibitionism kind of stuff, and also just like mental games and like bets and dares and like that kind of thing. So that story had like all of those things. But it's funny because originally I was just like, oh, this is not my genre, you know, and I just like moved on. And then when I actually read it, you know, I was pleasantly surprised. So lesson for me, I should not judge something based on its genre. But I really liked that one because I thought that the spice was high. I thought that it was right on theme because, one, they're watching actors playing characters while also playing a game where there's a winner and a loser, while also playing with each other's body parts. Like, you can't play more than that. That's like play times 3 cubed.
I liked Embracing Against the Rule.
My notes say the weird castle blindfold one night only sex purge one.
Yeah. Basically, like, people go out into the garden and you're not supposed to know who you're hooking up with. But she like cheats and makes it so that the guy who was visiting from the other place knew that it was her. And then they hooked up. I thought that was fun. Also, just because in the end of it, she's kind of like, okay, bye. Like, he's like, ooh, like, I want to be with you. And she's like, ha, 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 runs, like, flits away.
He's like, I'll marry you.
She's like, no, that's not what this is. Bye. So I thought that was really fun. I really liked Desire Blooms. I thought that was really nice because it was, like,
it was it's refreshing to see a couple that has like been together for a while and they're in a slump and they like find a way to refresh the relationship and also like learn something new about each other, and like continue to love each other and can bring like play into the relationship. And also the new guy was a ginger and I love redheads.
We have a lot of overlap in favorites. I was surprised when Drea, you showed up with the, you know, like this. I was like, but she didn't like that story. And now I'm hearing that you actually enjoyed it. And I'm so pleased because I'm like, that story's good. Like, I hope she does like it when she gets around to reading it. So I'm glad that it worked because I thought, like, do you know the picture that I took, like, outside of the mall? Because, like, oh, or do you dare to read erotica? Like, that was a story I was reading. And, like, what I sent in the chat about him slapping her, I was like, oh, that's what I was reading when that picture was taken.
Look up a second. I didn't even let myself get into, like, I literally started and I was like, people wearing wigs at the opera, this is not for me. I didn't even give it a chance.
Yeah. But I really liked it. I really love the writing in that. I was sucked in. I don't really have anything against any kind of genre or the other. I thought it was really a really interesting interaction. And yeah, I'm also not surprised Tashai liked it too, because I feel like, you know, it is in your competitive nature, you know, like to want to like get the upper hand in a social interaction. And I was like, I bet Tashai will like this one too. So I really like that we all enjoyed that one, maybe for different reasons. I also really enjoyed Desire Blooms. I think that, Tash, what you're saying about there being a couple that has already been established and then they introduce a new element, whether to, you know, to play with that new element. I don't think that I felt like playtime, that I don't know if that was as strong in that one in Desire Blooms, but I did think overall it was really, really good. Character arc was good. Drag, I really enjoyed. I like seeing queer sex on the page, you know, using strap-ons, you know, things that weren't like a man and a woman or, you know, cis men and cis women just like fucking the night away, you know, like other bodies. I really enjoyed that. I really liked Embracing the Storm, like the dojo one where they're like fighting and, you know, he's like, well, why can't you like defend against me? Like, you know what to do. And she's like, because I don't want to defend against you. I want you to like top me. And so I thought that was really cute. A lot of the ones that I liked, I know this is like so stupid, but I was like swept away by a lot of the romance in them, you know, like I know that when I'm reading erotica, I'm not necessarily looking for a happy ending, but like, I mean, not that kind of happy ending. I'm talking about like happily ever after. So for some of them, it gave me like a lot of hope for the couples, you know, especially like in Desire Blooms and the one that was kind of like, you know, he ties her up and it turns out he's like a god or some
the
shit.
About the moon, the something.
Yeah.
The
moon. Yeah. It was giving me like Wait, Avatar Last Airbender. Yeah. I enjoyed that one as well. And I think it was because, and I think it did a lot there at the end. I was like, wait, what? But I was like, you know what? They're going to be all right. And I thought it was really romantic. And so I was into it. So I feel like I had a mixed bunch of like kinky, really kinky ones and like really vanilla, just like they love each other or they're going to open their relationship and he's coming back for Christmas. So it was very sweet. And so yeah, those are the ones that I enjoyed. And I think those were the reasons why I was ready for smut. Yes. But also for just good feelings. I felt like I really needed some like really good feelings. And a lot of the stories had that. They were able to bring that like dopamine. Those are the ones that we liked, right? And so I'm curious, which ones didn't work for you?
Definitely the LARPing one. Arizamandi? I don't know if that's how you say it. But that one's one that like I still rated it kind of high because I like the concept. But I don't know. It really got me thinking because I feel like lately I've seen more romances. To be fair, I've seen it in like YA mostly, but I've seen like multiple romances now where it's like the characters fall in love through like D&D or some sort of role-playing game. And so I think this had a lot of potential. First of all, to be sexier, I love the idea of like this whole like LARPing situation that involves like touching and like intimacy. Like I love that. And I think that it just could have been played up a lot more. But I also love the idea of reading like a longer form thing where like two people actually do make a connection, you know, and it ends up being an actual romance. Like I would love that. I would also, I guess both of the ones that I would like to read longer things about are not ones that I hated. I just wanted more. And so the love sub would be the other one. Because I think, if the LARPing one would be like a funny, sexy, feel good, like erotic romance, the love sub would be like the weird literary fiction erotic novella. You know what I mean? Like I don't think that one would have a happy ending. I think it would be weird as shit, but I think it could be so good in a longer form. And I would read that for sure.
While I did like the love sub, I think I was confused about the logistics of it. And so that I got, for some of these, it's like, it's hard for me to wrap my head around something because it's so short. There's not enough opportunity to create the rules. And so then I'm just like, huh?
But I think that's something, if you had a novella, you could like really, you know, firm up.
Yeah, like if exactly. So maybe that one too.
Mid- no, I did put that in my notes. I was also confused as to
like
how exactly it works.
What is this semen made out of? Does it just have a tank of that?
I was literally thinking
order a tank of it when it runs out and they just like send it to you.
Is like it nobody I know even likes drinking like real semen. So like who wants to drink fake robot semen?
Yeah. Can you choose flavors? Okay.
Yeah, you know I'm right. So don't even make those faces at me. You probably thought it too.
I had the same thought. I'm like, but why? Like I just anyway. I thought Mid-Autumn Moon, which is the one with the married story, like my note was actually like, oh, this is one of the rare stories that I think could have benefited from being longer because of the turn into like mythology at the end. What about you, Chris? Anything that you would have wanted either more of because you liked it or more of because there was like some stuff you just couldn't wrap your head around? Was it the semen?
Honestly, the loves, is that the love sub? I didn't have really strong opinions about that one. I feel that I've seen something similar in other like science fiction stories where, first of all, there was recently, like in the most recent season of Black Mirror, there was kind of something like this. It was way more sinister, but they couldn't fuck. They didn't have like genitals. But it's like these astronauts that are in space and then they have like their person that lives with their wives or whatever. And, you know, they do have sexy times, but it's like different. But it's a dark story, not romantic at all. It's very bleak. Well, the ones that I wanted to be longer was, I think maybe just, well, two. Desire Blooms. I want the Christmas part. I want them to come back for Christmas and have a good time. So I would love that. As someone who like loves just like a cozy farmy romance, that was very much my jam and I really enjoyed it. And I didn't think it lacked anything. I just didn't want it to end. I think that I would read an entire story about the vampire and the stone maiden in the garden. I really wanted that to be better. And I was like, maybe with more space, the story could be good. But I was also like mortified at the, I mean, I know there's a lot of exhibitionism and that's fine, but there's a difference between getting caught like having sex with someone and then being caught just like masturbating in front of a statue. I was like, this is too much for me. But I did like the premise. It's funny because it was also, it's called Checkmate, if I'm not mistaken. And I thought that was cute, but I was like, what is it about chess and sexy books that like sucks? Like it never delivers. Like I remember Queen Moves, no chess in that book, no chess. And I was like, fuck this. And then the chess in that story, in this story in Checkmate, I thought it was going to be better and I wished it was better. I think that the potential is there. It's a cool like spoopy story. I think that the world is there. It just needs more pages. So I kind of hope this author takes the story and makes it into like an actual, I would read that. I would check that out. And then stories I outright did not enjoy. There's this one called It Feels Good. Too much talking. There's shut up. Be quiet. I don't want to. Don't. That's my pet peeve. We can dirty talk. We can talk. We're not having a conversation. Don't try that. I don't want to talk.
That was a long distance one, right?
No, this was one that they were talking about the first time they met. You know
what I mean? Oh, the guy was asking her like, oh, what was it like when you like first hooked up? And she's like,
yeah, I hated that one.
No one would turn, nothing would turn me off faster than someone being like there's a difference between like, you know, like aftercare or checking in. And like, sometimes you do want to talk about it. And it's like, this is hot for them, not for me. I was like, I don't like this. Another story that I thought was like fun, but I didn't enjoy it just because I felt like there was way too much to micromanage here. And if that's the first story that I read like this, but everybody wins or so many ways to win. I was like, oh my gosh, like I could never be this kind of dom because the amount of like.
Orchestrating. You're like.
I would just be a participant. I could not be like the person organizing it, you know, making the hotel reservations. I'm just not that person. And then in the
moment, organize it for you.
Two with three, and then three go with two, and then like, oh, make sure. Like, I thought it was a fun story, but as I was reading it, I was very clinical about it and being like, man, it couldn't be me. So there's another robot story in this that I was like, what the fuck? What is going on here?
That's why I mentioned it because I felt your reaction. That I was like, are you thinking about a different story?
With a robot, which I got it.
What is it called? I don't think I've read it.
Whenever you need me.
I just didn't understand what the story was trying to do, and I did not enjoy the interaction between the two leads. Let's just leave it at that for now, because I was like, what is even the, like, I don't understand the thesis of the story. I don't understand why someone would do this to someone else. I don't understand why someone would create something for this purpose. And then I don't understand why you understanding that would then treat that thing with so much disdain when it didn't have any agency in its creation. And so I was like, this sucks and I don't like it. And if there was a story that I did not like, beginning to end, it was that one. I did not enjoy it, and would rip out the pages if I could. If I was that kind of person, I would have ripped out the pages from this book. I had no comments except for like angry face, like bracket colon. I was like,
okay. I will also let you know my thoughts when I read that one.
Okay.
Yes.
Shy. What? You know, give me the other side of the coin.
My notes literally said, "I said I didn't read it. The concept grossed me out, so I didn't finish." So basically, like, I get that the robot doesn't have agency. I don't understand why it's written so that the robot already has, like, entitlement. Like, if you build a robot to be there for you because you're dying, you would think that it would be like the robot is built to be like the wife's friend. And then they bond while she's processing her grief, and the robot has the capacity to then develop and have a relationship with her. That I would have been fine with. That I would have been super into. But what ends up happening is you have a woman whose partner is like dead. And then you have a robot who's like, well, my maker was a fucking idiot. I can't believe that they would put themselves in a situation to give up those tits. She's crying and her tits and her nipples are touching her shirt. And I'm like, I was just so.
Yeah, dude. I was like, does this need to happen? I just felt conflicted on all. And I agree with you, by the way. I was just more icked by that robot did not program itself. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's different because we can come at it because we, right, have autonomy over our life.
Yeah.
But it's not like that robot made itself. Someone else decided that that was going to be its personality.
And the person who made the robot is a piece of shit.
It's a piece of shit.
They made a robot who is already
horny. Like, too horny. Too horny. Too horny.
Okay, I might skip this story. This
is not good.
The robot was turned on and immediately was like, I'm gonna fuck her because
that is my wife, and
that's what she needs.
Gone.
That's what she
and
needs.
That's what she and, really wants. Yeah. She's crying, but what she wants is for me to fuck her. She just needs to get over this and stop crying. It just grossed me out. I got like 3 pages into it, and I closed it and I threw it on the floor.
It ends, and it's. I think it ends, and like it's supposed to be like heartwarming or like wholesome, and it's not. I was not convinced by the end of it.
I didn't even read it because in my mind, the natural conclusion would be that at some point they would have sex and that would make me mad. And so I just didn't read it.
I think maybe the only part of that story that I enjoyed was like the robot discovering. I mean, it was like, I didn't enjoy reading it, but I was like, oh, that's interesting because I'm always interested in like what other intelligence, how the other intelligences experience life/pleasure or whatever. That part, I was like, okay, I was intrigued by how it was presented, but I read the story without the sex in a different anthology, and it was way better. And it was the same premise. Someone dies, and then they send a clone to your house to help you get over it and continue to, like, live with that person. And then when you're ready, you can let them go. Like, if it's, like, and that story was beautiful. I cried. It was so good. But this one was not great.
And then the other one was the one with like the sex scientist, the like space explorer out of this world, that one. Because I said I was definitely more excited about this story when I started reading it, but then it got really specific about the biology part of it, and that like threw me off, and I couldn't wrap my head around it, because then it started like there's like a certain amount of detail. Like you said, like, oh, I wonder how this alien like experiences pleasure. Cool. But then it's like my dick will morph to fit every nook and cranny.
I kind of felt like I already knew where this was coming, because I feel like, is this the Robin Lovett story? It definitely suffered from man in a creature suit. You know, like it was very much like we're going to have like human sex and we're going to pretend that this is like monster sex.
Yeah.
Not interesting in the least. It was very boring.
Yeah,
and
I wanted
more. Whatever. Take me back to the opera. I don't want this. Take me back to the opera. That story was also very romantic, I will have to say. The devil take you. I was like, ooh, thanks.
Why couldn't it just be an alien? And at the end of it, the alien does, he morphs his cock and she comes beyond all reason. And then he's like, so was I the best? And she's like,
no. Yeah.
Sorry,
that's what needed to happen, and she needed to be like, "All right,
I'm gonna go on my spaceship." Because you know what? At the end of the day, I don't care how they described this alien angel guy. At the end of the day, what I got from it was like mediocre white guy.
Those are my
ones that I'm like,
Well, there you go, Andrea. Hopefully, we didn't spoil it too bad. The ones that sounded interesting, let us know your thoughts. But feel free to skip whenever you need me, because I did not like that.
Well, and you know, that's one of those stories that when I was picking stories, I was like, science fiction, and I skipped it. But clearly in this case, it was a good call.
The other robot one is better, even if it's like baffling, it's better because clearly they're both there because they want to be there.
Yeah.
And that enthusiastic consent.
It's enthusiastic participation. Exactly. They want to see where it goes.
Yeah, in Sex Machine, the other anthology from Iron Circus, there is a robot story, and he does have jizz, but it's like a lubricating, like it's on purpose, like it's like a lubricating kind of jizz, and it's really cute. That story is adorable, and so that's why I wasn't really like thrown by the. Do I have to refill it? I was like, of course you do. Like I had already answered all the questions. There's like a robot depot, and like that's, you know, in this universe, if this robot can exist.
You know what my biggest question in that story was? How the fuck did they deliver the package to the inside of her house while she was at work? I was really concerned about this.
It was just in your bedroom. I'm like, girl.
Yeah, if I got home, there was a package already in my bedroom.
It's a big ass box, too. That guy was a whole 6'2". Like, what the fuck? How'd you get in here?
I was very concerned.
My neighbors didn't even say anything. No one texted. No one was alarmed.
I wasn't that, I mean, yes, I had questions, but I was also like, I'm okay with no answers. Whereas like there was other ones where I'm like, I don't care. So if you were to contribute your own kind of story, like I was also disappointed that there was only one kind of LARPing story. And like, I appreciated like playtime. A lot of stories took that in a direction of, oh, like we're gonna try something new in our relationship. But I was really disappointed that there was nothing like, oh, it's like a sexy Uno game, like literal like playing like games, like
your battleship.
Yeah, like sexy battleship, sexy poker, you know, something like that. I maybe it's just really silly of me. I love playing games. And there's even like Roll for Romance. There's a podcast that for people who love playing like with those kind of interactions, you know, there's like romanceable NPCs. So I was really like a little bit disappointed that there wasn't that many stories kind of like leading that way. But that being said, I enjoyed it. And I wondered, right, like if you were going to just give a brief idea of maybe what kind of story you would include in a collection like this, what would it be about? Let me know. What do you think?
I think it'd be fun to include a story because we have like play as the theme. But I like the idea of focusing in on like the rules of a game. So then, and I thought about this right now because I don't know if I realized that was the question you were going to ask, but I can imagine a scenario where like you have someone who is like a sex worker who has a very big variety of like clientele. And then afterwards, they are like friends with their neighbor. And they go and like chat with the neighbor, and maybe the neighbor does like almost like interviews about how it went, who the person was, like who the client was, the good and the bad, like how it went down, and maybe is like figuring out how to give someone like a playbook on how to have like a good, fun sex life. But it's written based on all the encounters like that this other person is having. So then you get a little voyeurism, you get a little bit of like retelling of sexual encounters. Maybe as time goes by, there's a little jealousy between the neighbor and the person who's like doing the sexy times. And then maybe at some point the neighbor, like at the end, books the sex worker and is like, let's like play the game type of thing. I think something like that would be fun to write or to read.
I would read that for sure. I would read that. That's what this was missing. Very well thought out. Very well thought out. I like that. What about you, Drea? What's your idea?
So I agree with you that I think there should be more stories that have either board games or role-playing games but you know, like game in a traditional sense. And I do think I could rewrite that LARPing story and it would be better. But in order to like, you know, bring a little variety to this discussion, I will move away from that. And I will say that I think it would also be fun to have a story with two authors, because like writing is also playing. And you know how like when we read 7 Days in June, they were like writing the books about each other. I think it'd be fun if it was like two erotica writers and they keep like reading each other's stories. You know what I mean? Like, it could go in so many directions, but I think
like
it would be
play.
Yeah, I think it would be really fun if it was like two erotica writers and they keep like putting each other in their stories, but they've like never met, you know, in person. And I don't know, I think something like that would be fun.
I'm casting Donald Glover as one of the authors.
Yeah, I asked the question, but I'm not actually sure what I would include like specifically. I just know what else I wanted. I honestly would just add like a sexy Uno game to this. Like maybe someone brings like cards, right? And they look like regular playing cards, but then as you're playing them, you know, the little images or something, and then you know, the kind of story progresses from there. Like I definitely wanted more. Yeah, this is a game and we are playing the game so that we are playing each other. Yeah, like, I guess with Twister, but it had to be something like you spin it and then it tells you like put your finger in her ass, you know, something like that. Not like, you know what I mean? It would have some sort of extra component to it.
Yeah, like someone gets invited to a board game night and they're like, we're gonna play this, this, and this. And she's like, oh, okay, cool. Like taking it back to the classics. But then exactly. She gets there and it's like revamped versions of all these games.
And it can include all the things that we like from stories, right? So we've kind of talked about how we like stories where there's an established relationship. Well, maybe there's a gaming group with like sexual tension, you know, unresolved sexual tension or something like that. They decide to go to this gaming situation and then they play like the sexy game and, you know, it turns out they love each other and they want to have sex and play games together. Ta-da! We did it. We added a story. Good job. That's all the questions I have for us. I really just wanted to know like your overall experience, your favorites, the hits, the misses, and what you would add to this. And so is there anything else that you kind of like want to talk about, or did you have any final thoughts as far as the anthology? Would you read another one of these? You know, would you recommend one of these? I don't know. Let me know.
I'd probably read another one of these. I think anthologies are fun. I think it's a good opportunity to like gain exposure to writers who you might not otherwise have experience with. And I think because it's a shorter delivery method, if you find an author that you like, then it gives you the opportunity to then find them and find what other work they're doing. So I think it's a really good entry point into different writers.
So next month we are going to be reading Back in a Spell by Lana Harper. And this is the third book of The Witches of Thistle Grove. So it'll be interesting to see like if we're able to like jump into this already established universe, if we will have like any questions or concerns. We'll figure it out. It's fine. But yeah, that wraps up this episode of Only Lovers Book Club. Please let us know what you thought of our discussion. If you read the anthology, if you're interested in reading it now, how do you feel about robots and consent? All those good things. Leave us a comment and then we will catch you in the next one for a nice witchy time. Bye. Thank you for making it to the end of our episode and spending some delicious, playful time with us. Make sure to like the video on YouTube and leave us a comment. Or if you're just listening, leave us a review wherever it is that you're listening to. Spotify, Apple Podcasts. It's free, completely free. But, you know, if you've got a little extra coin in your change purse, you can always drop some change into our tip jar. You can also support us by sharing our episodes, subscribing to our shows, and you can shop from our bookshop. And you can find us on Instagram at Only Lovers Book Club.